I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You got to get on PharrellOnABench.com. It's hoops and hockey time now. Get the best picks. PharrellOnABench.com has them. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. It's all there. Sign up today. I hit the big game last year with Philly. I hit the big game this year. New England to win outright and -2.5. I hit a ton of props too. PharrellOnABench.com rules. Don't forget, Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One, home of college, basketball, and NHL the rest of the way on radio. They carry Pharrell on the Bets, Westwood One. So go to WestwoodOnePodcast.com every day, Tuesday through Sunday. You can hear the show or iTunes, Google Play, anywhere good podcasts are available. Subscribe free. And you can follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. Don't forget Carver High's hockey podcast at ILC Podcast. And he's having a bash February 23rd at the Offside Tavern in Lower Manhattan. That's at nighttime. So like what, 7 o'clock on, something like that?
Actually 8 o'clock because the Islanders are playing at 10.
So. There you go. So 8 o'clock on. So a two-hour pregame party to watch the Flyers and Penguins outdoor series. And then I'm sure a lot of the Islander fans will be shouting obscenities at the television between 8 and 10 about how much of a wussy Sidney Crosby is with all of his Stanley Cups.
They won't even be watching.
Uh-huh.
They'll be
drinking.
Taking in the show.
Sure. Oh, that's right. You'll be doing the show. When is the show on? 8 to 10?
Yeah, probably 8 to like 9:30.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free 855-212-4CBS line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat, RV insurance? They have that, too. Just go to geico.com. It's almost like a slap in the face to be back at work in New York in Realityville here doing the show after the Super Bowl. There's no more, really, you know, NFL. It's over. And now we're talking about AAF football. I have seen it all.
But to be fair, you know this only lasts, like, what, a month before we get into who's getting franchise tagged here, and then March 10th or 11th is free agency, and this is, you know, it's great. All the off-season stuff begins. So, you're not excited for the combine coming up in a couple weeks?
No. Goff in the NFC title game, 9 yards a pop. In this game, 3.6 yards a pop.
Goff was absolutely embarrassing in this game. He's the sole reason, you know, one of the biggest reasons that they lost the game. I thought that he missed wide-open receivers. I thought he threw floaters at times. I thought that he was scared. He played scared the entire game.
New England pressured Goff on 9 of the 18 stunts. Goff did not have a completion of more than 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. I did notice it when I was watching the game, how many times he took off running to the sideline, and never once did he gain a yard. So every single run was behind the line of scrimmage, so he never ran the ball once. Those were all not runs. That was unbelievable. Think about that while you're having your late-night beverage. So, we've already talked about the everything, the power rankings in football. We've talked about the AAF odds. Now, here's one, the Raiders. Do you think they're going to cut the deal to play at Oracle?
Yes.
So,
they're going to be playing where the Giants play.
The deal's not done, but it's obviously in the works. You think they'll play there where the Giants play?
I do. You know what? That was a nice little out-of-nowhere one that I don't think we ever really talked about, was that they could play where the – and that stadium where the Giants play has hosted some bowl games, I'm pretty sure, in the past. So they have had football games on that field before.
They've definitely had football games on
that
field.
So I think that's a nice spot. Keeps them near their fan base. I get it. It's San Francisco, not Oakland, but still. I think it's the best. It's better than them playing in San Diego or San Antonio.
Did you feel at any point when you were in Las Vegas for 8 days that there was any interest at all in the Raiders?
Zero. Zero.
None. But did you see it? The last thing we did when we were sitting at the Long Bar on Friday night at 2 in the morning, we were trying to make it from 2 to 4, and that group of Raider fans sitting next to us drinking shots. And every time they drank their shots, they would yell, blah, 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 go Raiders.
Raiders.
They drank it right when they said Raiders. They drank the shot. There was like 10 of them.
First Raider fans I saw in Las Vegas all week.
That's true. So there was a lot.
And they had a little shop set up at the airport.
Oh, did they?
I did see that.
For their expensive clothes. Remember, Mafia, when we were at the MGM and they had all the night's clothes were nice and cheap. Everything was over $100, even T-shirts.
Right, even just plain T-shirts or, you know, just the athletic shirts. They work out and stuff was like $80 for a T-shirt. You got to be kidding me.
All right, so did you
guys... The hats that weren't even fitted were like $40.
Yeah, I don't wear hats. Did you see the Florida State got rid of DeAndre Francois? They cut him from the football team after his domestic violence allegation. So he's no longer with the Florida State football program. So the bottom line is, that's the end of him there, right? And then I wonder what's going to happen to that football team. I mean, seriously, not because of him, but Blackman started in place of Francois in 2017 and threw for 19 touchdowns, 11 picks. He started one game in 2018, finishing with 421 yards, a career high, and 4 touchdowns in a win over NC State in November. It looks like, and they had more problems with Francois. Police searched trash of his, I guess, place as part of a marijuana investigation. He threw 15 TDs and 12 picks. He was going to... You know, I guess he expected to compete with redshirt sophomore James Blackman for the starting job in the spring. So Blackman's the guy now? Is that the deal?
Seems to be the case unless they bring somebody, you know, have someone else coming up and as a freshman that might compete. But other than that, I mean, he was disappointed anyway. Remember they were supposed to be and run for the title like 2 years ago with him. Right. And all of a sudden he got hurt in that first game against, what was it, Alabama that knocked him out. And then like they just went downhill since. I mean, they have the history. Everyone knows them. But everyone else in Florida is starting to catch up. So you better start getting your stuff together. Otherwise, these other teams are going to pass you and these recruits are going to go elsewhere.
Didn't Taggart go there? And then they suck, bottom line. And neither one of those guys, Blackman and Francois, were both terrible. And that's their quarterback now? I mean, that's a problem. They're still going to suck.
That is. And you know, look at all these other teams that are coming up in the state of Florida. They're going to start sending recruits. I mean, look at Miami. As good as they were for all those years, they still haven't gotten back to that level. And how long? Because it just takes a couple times of you being terrible and these other teams – being good, like Florida and some of these other ones that are coming back around, that the recruits start going there instead.
Central Florida does better now.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Dolphins hiring Brian Flores as their new head coach after the Pats' defensive mastery of the Rams in the Super Bowl?
I had a couple of Dolphin fans.
Are they ahead of themselves here?
I had a couple of Dolphin fans reach out to me today who were very excited about this. The mastermind of one of the greatest defensive performances in Super Bowl history.
Genius.
I'll say this.
He's a genius. He's a mastermind.
He did an unbelievable job yesterday.
Isn't
I don't know
McVay
how much he's involved. But as great as all these guys have been, what happens when they leave the hoodie?
They suck.
I'm not kidding. What happens when they leave Belichick? All of them. Name them all. They all fail when they leave him. Maybe this guy will be different. Maybe he'll be the first one. But they all fail. So this guy's got to show me before everybody anoints him the next
great
thing.
And then how about Zach Taylor gets the Bengals job? He's the no one even knows who that is.
If I was the Bengals, I would have did to Zach Taylor what Josh McDaniels did to the Colts last year. I would have changed my mind and said, you know what? I know we talked to you before after what I watched yesterday. You stay out there with Sean. I think you need some more time.
Oh, he's his quarterback
coach.
Coach,
yeah.
He did a great job.
He's the coach of the QB that looked absolutely terrible.
I mean, he looked fantastic in that Super Bowl. Great job.
The Bengals should turn their back there.
So, best in the West, best in the East. Do you see it? Flames, Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals, Carver High. Is there any possibility that the two best teams in each conference meet for the Stanley Cup Championship? And if they did, who do you got in a best of seven?
If they played, I would definitely pick the Lightning, but I do not believe that they will play in the Stanley Cup final. No,
I
don't think that Calgary, as good of a year as they're having, I do not believe that they would beat the likes of Nashville, Winnipeg, Vegas, maybe even San Jose in a seven-game series. I don't believe it.
Mafia, are you buying that? Calgary and Tampa.
No, I'm with Carver High. They're having a nice year. They're looking great, but you have those teams in the West that have been there before that have that pedigree. Nashville's been to the finals. Vegas went to the finals last year. I know they're still a new team. It's only their second year, but we're seeing good things out of them again, and they got a goaltender that can carry the team. Winnipeg has had some success in the playoffs, and they've had that taste. It seems more so in the NHL than any other league that you have to go to the playoffs and have those, you know, losing seasons where you earn your stripes before you really take that next step up to be a championship-level team.
So the lowest Super Bowl scoring ever. It was the lowest scoring game ever, 13-3.
Which is really hard to believe in today's NFL, right? Because look at some of these games we watch nowadays. I mean, all you got to do is point to a Ram game this year on Monday night against the Chiefs, 54-51. We've seen so many high-scoring games. The Patriot-Chief game in the AFC title game was really high-scoring. And to see a 13-3 game in the Super Bowl is really – I think you brought it up. I mean, the last time you saw something like that was the
Steeler-Viking
game, which was back in the 70s. It's – even when we've had bad games in the Super Bowl the last 30 years, there was a lot of points. You know, they were blowouts.
Right.
This was – you know what this – I thought this was? This replaced – in, like, the modern last 25 years – I thought this replaced the Steelers-Seahawks game as the worst Super Bowl in the last 25
years. Yeah.
That game was great for you. It was great for you. Steelers
they
won.
They said the refs fixed
that. That game was awful that day.
The tradition of having the defending champs host a Thursday night game could be taking a one-year hiatus. According to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, the longtime Ed Werder, the reporter, the Patriots are likely going to be getting the boot from the 19 opener in favor of two completely different teams. This isn't a conspiracy. The NFL is thinking about doing something different with the league, kicking off its 100th season to celebrate the occasion. The NFL is apparently thinking about having two of its oldest teams, the Bears and Packers, open the season on a Thursday nighter in either Green Bay or Chicago. The Packers just celebrated their 100th season. The Bears will be celebrating their 100th season, so it would make sense. Do you believe they'll do that, or do you believe, because I saw some talk about if they do it, that it would be, you know, these are the teams. The Patriots would host the Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Cowboys, Giants, Steelers, Browns, and Chiefs. I guess that's who they did host, right?
That's who they're scheduled to play at home this year.
Oh, is that who they're scheduled?
Right. Those are the eight teams that they would play at Foxborough. So one of those games is going to be the opener. Now, I don't like this at all. I like having the Super Bowl winner play on Thursday night. Do we really need to see another Bear Packer game in prime? Like, honestly, it's stale.
They always show that game.
It's stale. I get it. It's the 100th anniversary. I don't need it. They did it last year on Sunday night. It was a great game. Rodgers, the comeback in the second half.
Right. You got to admit that commercial that they did right before the halftime was great.
I didn't even see it.
You didn't see the 100-year anniversary Super Bowl commercial?
I didn't see it.
You got to pull it up in there and watch it. It was good. It was really good.
I don't watch the game.
Listen,
the commercials.
Okay, well, just I'm telling you, right. Watch the commercial. It was actually really good. Mafia, you saw it. It was really good.
Yeah, I thought that was one of like the three best commercials the whole time.
I agree with you. There were two good commercials. You said the one with Harrison Ford and that one. That's it.
I like the T-Mobile ones with the messed up Texas too, like where the dad's like trying to search for eggplant recipes and he's texting the daughter instead, or the one where they're. There's a couple of them that T-Mobile did was like messed up text that I thought was all right.
But. All right, call the show, 855-212-4227. Machado isn't thrilled with his offers. He's still hoping, allegedly, if you believe rumors, that he would he still wants to play for the Yankees. That's it. And the first pitchers and catchers report in 8 days. Here's another report. In 8 days, I'll be in the Caribbean. Check out.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I want to get your calls going here. And get everybody on. They're watching. They're showing the best highlights of the postseason right now. I'm watching it and on TV. And the one thing I noticed was they're showing, like, you know, the kid Parker missed the field goal for the Bears Mafia. Here's the deal. If you don't have a good kicker, you will suffer the consequences in the NFL. I'm, firmly behind and utterly convinced, without a doubt, if you don't have a good kicker, seriously, you'll regret it. You will either lose a big game, or you will lose a Super Bowl, or you will lose a wild card game. You will lose. You won't get in the playoffs. Something will happen to you based on, in my view, not having a good kicker. What do you think of that?
I think that's definitely a big thing in these games, especially now that even some of the best kickers are so inconsistent at times. I mean, look at the Super Bowl last night. You have two of the best in the league, two of the guys with the biggest legs that have nailed just huge kicks, going into a building where no one's missed a field goal a year, and they both miss one. And
I told you, my buddy, I told you he won $1,000 when Zuerlein missed that last field goal with 8 seconds left.
There are a bunch of people that did on those boxes. That helped out huge. I mean, I thought that was a gimme for him, and he sends out left.
So what do you think of the ratings, that they had the lowest record in 10 years, the lowest ratings in 10 years? It averaged 98.2 million. CBS is saying they had 100 million people watch the Super Bowl. But I guarantee you, 90 million of them were put to sleep. I literally, I'm not even kidding you, when I was watching that game, I'm going to be honest. I'm watching a game, right? And I was literally seeing double. So in other words, when I start seeing double, it's time to, pass out. When I start seeing double, it's over. The day's over. So when I start, dozing off and fading, and I was watching that game and I was falling asleep. It was so bad.
Yeah, the only reason to keep watching that game last night is if you had bets on props, bets on the game, these things like that. For as much as the NFL hates gambling, that's the only thing that kept anybody locked into that game last night. It was so bad.
I don't know, though. They were up 10-3. The Rams had a chance
to
tie it.
3 or 4 minutes left in the
game.
When they made that first ball. And listen, Cooks has to catch that first one. That first ball he threw where it was in Cooks' hands. I get Gilmore was tugging him a little bit. Cooks has to bring that down. And what happens on the next play? He throws the same exact pass. It's a duck and right to Gilmore. It was but I thought Cook should have pulled the one before that down.
Some people thought that Gilmore should have got the MVP. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, you give up 3 points in the Super Bowl. It would have been nice to find maybe somebody on the defensive side of the ball to maybe give the MVP to.
Nick in Massachusetts on the Hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio. I'll get everybody on. Don't worry about it. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, Scotty, what's going on? Nick the bartender from Quincy. How you doing, bud?
My man.
What's up, brother? Hey, first of all, I definitely need a double shot of Crown because obviously the Pats won.
I got you. There you go.
Got me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, thank you, sir. So, you know what? Obviously, I got a lot of points, but I'm going to bring up 1 point, which, I know nationally I expect it, but even locally – listen, man, the Pats won that game because the defense won that game, man. That D showed up. All year they were questioned. Locally they were questioned. But that one game, that D showed up and they represented and they shut down.
Well, I think, I'm getting fairly accustomed and used to the Boston market. I mean, we've been on there now a long time, in my view, right? What, this is 7 years? So we've been on there, and I've been on every night. And I've gotten, a great relationship going with the fans there. I love them. I think they're the most passionate fans. I mean, no disrespect to anybody else anywhere else, but I just think, Boston is the greatest, in terms of sports fans. It's just the craziest town in terms of all the markets we're on, and we're on in tons of them. And just that Boston is the biggest in terms of fans and reaction and everything else. So what I'm trying to say is this. Is that when you live there, and one thing I've noticed is when you live there, you have nothing better to do than talk about that team all day long, and that's what they do is talk about the Patriots all day long. And then, the Red Sox. So here's the – but and the Celtics even. But here's the deal. The Pats fans, they talk about them so much. At one point, they had no faith in them. Well, they only won 11 games. When they went into the divisional game at Arrowhead, they thought they were going to lose. Everyone thought they were going to lose. 90% of my callers said they were going to lose the game. Then they won the game, and then it was weird. It turned right around, and then literally every Pats fan in New England and in the Northeast said they were going to win the Super Bowl. They didn't believe on them against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, but they did believe in them when they played the Rams in a Super Bowl. None of it made any sense to me. And so I think what it is they have nothing better to do than complain about them, worry about them, stress about them, overhype them, or believe in them so much that nobody can beat them, or talk about Brady that no one can touch him. He's the greatest ever. So they just talk about him all day, every day. So there's no rhyme or reason to it. The bottom line is it's obvious they won the game because of their defense. And who really gives a rat's ass? When you're in a Super Bowl, ask Darwin. He sits there. He's a fan of the Patriots. My buddy, Burgie, he's a fan of the Patriots. In the middle of the game, he kept texting me going, wow, I don't care how we get it done. Offensively, Brady. Defensively, Edelman. Belichick. They don't, the kicker, for Christ's sakes. They don't care how they get it done in Boston. Just get it done. Just win. Who cares if it was the defense? The defense did a great job. When are people going to realize the defense is as important, if not more so, than the offense? You know what I mean? Because you never know when you're going to get in a slugfest defensive battle, right? When you count on the offense to win every single game like the Rams do, I mean, let's face it, that's what they do, right? They outscore you. They run you out of the building. But then when it comes to the two-week hype machine called the Super Bowl, where all they talk about is what's going to happen in the game 2 weeks from now, a week from now, and then finally the day of the game, all they talked about was the Rams' defense was going to sack Brady 15 times, remember? They're going to kick his ass, throw him on his ass, beat him, humiliate him, punish him. He's going to spend a whole day on his ass. That never happened, right? They got him, what, once or twice? What did they sack him in the game? All I know, they got him once.
They hit him a bit.
Whatever.
Their Ram D played well.
They played well, but they didn't play well when it mattered most. When he threw that floater to Gronkowski, he caught it, game over. And then the Patriots never let the Rams make a play like that. They never let him make that big play. Chris in Minneapolis.
Pharrell.
Hey.
It's been a long time, but you and I worked hockey many years ago. It's great to see that you're doing fantastic, and congratulations on the ranking.
Oh, thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate that, brother.
So can you do me a favor, and can you put 90 seconds on the clock? Because I'm going to touch base on a lot of things in 90 seconds, and I think you're just going to enjoy this.
All right, go ahead. Hurry up. I got to do an update. Do it.
Lonzo Ball, have a family meeting. Tell your dad to shut the heck up. Lakers, trade him to New Orleans. New Orleans, do me a favor. Then trade him to Orlando. Perfect move. Then now we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Pats, Rams, best Super Bowl I've ever seen. Defensive football, old school football, greatest game I've ever seen. Finally, here's your move of the day. Seattle, when they have their expansion draft, first pick, Carey Price. Carey Price will do exactly for Seattle what Marc-Andre Fleury is doing for Las Vegas. Thank you.
There you go, my man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, you know, Fleury would, you know, I don't know how many cup rings Carey Price is going to bring to Seattle. I know Fleury brought a couple to Vegas with him. But
three.
You know, it's I get where he's going in terms of a veteran goaltender who has been in the league for a long time, but Carey Price has not done the winning that Marc-Andre Fleury has done.
He's never won it.
Never won anything.
He never won anything. And he gets praised like he's God's gift to goaltending. He really does. Like, he's the greatest goalie in the league that's never done jack.
Well, there's two guys in the league that have been around for a very long time and have a lot of wins and have done, you know, great goals against for their whole careers, but they've never won squat. Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist. Both have never won anything.
Right.
Period.
But I think, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think
at least Lundqvist made a cup final.
Yeah, he's better.
Lundqvist is better than Carey Price.
Oh, I think he's better.
But neither have won anything.
Hands down. Neither have won, but the king is better.
Now, they've both won, you know, gold medals and Olympic tournaments. We're talking about the NHL. They've never won anything.
So, Nick Foles is expected to get his they're going to pick up his option, the Eagles, franchise tag him, and then trade him. Now, we heard one guy tonight say he's going to the Jaguars. Is there anywhere else that you think Nick Foles is going?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so Tennessee remains number one in college basketball for 3 weeks now. Top four unchanged in the AP Top 25. The Vols received 48 of 64 first place votes from the media panel in the poll released today. Duke had 12 first place votes. Virginia had 4. Gonzaga and Kentucky rounded out the top five. So it's Tennessee, Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, Kentucky. Then Nevada is sixth. Michigan, 7. North Carolina, Michigan State, Marquette round out the top 10. Then Vatek, they lost tonight. Louisville beat their ass. Houston's 12. Kansas, 13. Nova, 14. Purdue, 15. And nothing else matters at that point. I mean, it really doesn't, does it? So, we told you before that Nick Foles, the Eagles expected to pick up the option, franchise tag him, and trade him. I got to be honest, I'm sick and tired of hearing about him for a month and a half now. I'm so tired of it. I'm like, I don't even care where he goes anymore. We've heard so much about Nick Foles in the last month and a half that I just can't take it anymore. I don't care where they trade him. Bobby in Jersey, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
shake
out
of me. Yeah, man, that Super Bowl was so stale, dude. And after the Rams played those Eagles.
Was that not just like getting hit in the head with a hammer? What was that?
It's like you thought he was done, but then he had to
just keep
going, you know, just had to keep pushing through.
All right, there you go. Kevin in Rhode Island.
What's up, Pharrell?
Hey, man.
Hey, let me get a Glenn Levitt.
Can we get him a little Glenn Levitt? Check it out.
My man. All right, so I just wanted to say, I really think Stephen Gilmore deserves to be Super Bowl MVP. I'm going based off of, I mean, they only scored 3 points against us. Stephen Gilmore had an interception, a forced fumble, 5 tackles, 3 defended passes. That guy was a maniac. He was all over the field all day. My second point, Bill Belichick.
All right, thanks for your bomb. All right, one after the next. So should I just not take any more calls? What do you want to do?
I mean, at this point.
It's just not worth taking calls because everyone cusses. Is that the deal? So just understand here. We're on the Vatican Network. We don't have it. We're not tolerating it. You're not going to do it. And then we'll just shut it all down. How does that sound? I mean, every single guy that calls in is dropping bombs. Is that what's going to happen here? Wrong. Bryce Harper drawing interest from 8 teams. The Yankees still have a slim shot at Machado. Are you buying this, Carver Hyde, that they're going
to
get him?
I am not buying this. I think that Machado wants them to be involved, and they are not involved, and that upsets him.
The New York Post offered up an interesting solution for Machado's free agency. If Machado did a 1-year deal, he would return to free agency next offseason. That could include Arenado, Donaldson, Rendon, Bogarts, Gregorius. Machado would still have only played his age 26 season in 2019 and be younger than all in that group except Bogarts, who's 3 months younger. Do you agree with that, that he would do a 1-year deal and sign with the Yankees?
There is absolutely 0.0000% chance that he's signing a 1-year deal. Not happening.
So there seems to be more teams interested in Bryce Harper than the list of the White Sox, Phillies, Padres, and Nationals. John Heyman is reporting that 8 teams are in on Harper. And then a couple of them are thinking a short-term deal versus long-term record-breaking deals that Harper and his agent are after this winter. Do you feel like you know any of the list of the 8? There's 8 teams, apparently.
Well, look, here's one thing. I do believe that there's probably more teams that are now going to dip their toe in the water because as we've gotten – what'd you say earlier we are? 8 days till pitchers and catchers, right? Don't these guys got to sign at some point soon? Like, don't they got to take an offer at some point?
No.
Well, here's the thing.
No.
This has gone on.
They're going to sign the day of opening day.
This has gone on for so long now that teams that thought I could never be involved in a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado sweepstakes, they probably have to circle back now and go, hey, well, since you guys don't have anything yet, we can offer you this. So that'll get other teams involved.
Did you see this guy at ESPN got fired? One of their major talents or something?
I've never even heard of the guy before.
Is that his name? Adnan Virk? He was on everything. Apparently, he is from Toronto, grew up in Canada, and he had emigrated from Pakistan. His TV career began in Canada. He joined ESPN, and he got real popular real fast, and he hosted everything from a lead studio host on college football, regular host on Baseball Tonight, and college basketball. He was a main fill-in host on their radio network, and then apparently they're saying they accused him of leaking confidential company information to the media on multiple occasions, and that they escorted him out of the facility, apparently, over the weekend or Friday or something like that. They fired this guy. The Giants have discussed Jacoby Ellsbury. Can you imagine? When is the last time that guy played baseball?
Please. I mean, can you really?
You're begging him to take him.
Well, it would be bad contract for bad contract. So basically, the Yankees would have to take back Samardzija or Johnny Cueto. But honestly, I'll take that risk. Go ahead. They don't want anything to do with Jacoby Ellsbury anymore.
So they would give us like Samardzija or
right.
Or
it would be bad because those are some bad contracts that the Giants have. The Ellsbury's clearly a bad contract for them. You do a little bad contract for bad contract swap.
So the Crusher Kovalev did win back his light heavyweight world championship on Saturday night. He beat Elider Alvarez in a unanimous decision. Mafia, what did you think of the fight night? I watched it. I thought Moraes looked fantastic. Marlon Moraes.
Yeah, I thought he did too. I mean, those guys had a great fight the first time, and he kind of got shafted by the judges. A lot of people
thought so. He beat Austin Sal.
Yeah, Sun Sal, he came back, beat him, and now a lot of people think that makes him the top contender in that division, although we have to see what goes on because that's the 135 where Does Dillashaw fight Cejudo again, or is he going to go defend the belt?
And we saw our boy, that's our buddy Lyman Good. We saw him lose to Damian Maia.
I mean, Maia's just on a different level. Lyman's a tough guy. He's a good stand-up fighter, but he just hasn't been able to translate
success. What do you think of Johnny Walker?
He's an interesting character for sure. People are really getting on him after his performance there. People are excited to see these
characters. Didn't he win in like 30 seconds?
Yeah, and he's got quite a personality, and that draws a lot of people in the fight game.
What did you think of Jose Aldo's win?
It's been good for him to come back and kind of rebound and get his career going again. A lot of people wrote him off after those injuries and the couple of losses he had, but he's starting to rebound and look, not exactly like he was back in the day, but he's showing that he still has something left.
And then Thiago Alves returning to glory.
Yeah, he's always a tough guy, so it's always fun to watch him fight. Either way, he's exciting whether he wins or loses.
All right, so what's the next big one?
This weekend is the pay-per-view. The one, Robert Whittaker versus Gastelum for the title at middleweight. And your boy Anderson Silva is going to be fighting Israel Adesanya.
Which fight will they cancel on Thursday?
I don't know.
Well, it's funny. You're like, when's the next big one? And immediately Bobby goes, well, there's another one this weekend. Like, there's every week.
Well, how about, I don't know if you caught any of that. They left the TV going on the same channel after the game for a little bit where I was. They had that stupid competition show with James Corden on at the game.
Yeah.
One of the judges on it was Anderson Silva. The guy in his whole UFC career has needed a translator. All of a sudden he's on American TV and speaks perfect English.
Yeah, I saw him on there. D-Man in Memphis, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey.
Scotty, how's it going?
What's happening?
Hey, y'all killing it tonight, you and Mavi and Carver Hive. I want to comment on that AAF.
Right.
I think I'll check it out. I have to. The league's any good. I might watch it some. But does Bill Polian have anything to do with that league?
Yes, he is a big part of the league. He's one of the big names that they lured in there to help run the league. So he is involved.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I think Memphis, they grew pretty good for the Showboats in the old USFL. So if it's any good, they might support it. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it's any good. It starts this Saturday. It should be interesting to see if it turns into anything. Andy in Abilene, Texas.
Hey, Pharrell. Is this the Vatican Network?
It is.
I think that Tom Brady should retire.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy, he had the Super Bowl throws were bad. He had about 5 good throws. It's time to be done. Peyton Manning did this and had a terrible season. It's time to be done.
Yep.
Or Belichick's going to bench him in the middle of the season.
Did you see Marino fall down at the hockey game?
No.
You never saw him wipe out the old Man U coach? Watch this. Did you see it? Watch. Did you see him fall there?
Who was it?
That was that guy Marino, the old Man U coach. That's him. Biting
Jeez.
It. Mike in California, you're on the bench.
Oh, what's up, Pharrell? Hey, boss, can you pour me a beer, just a draft beer, sir?
I got you.
Oh, sir, I just want to let you know what? The Raiders have sucked for years, but I have a good feeling about this year. And you know what? I mean, last night was the proof that old man, if you want to beat the best, you got to be the best, baby. So you know what? Hopefully this year we can climb that mountain. I don't know how, but Scott, maybe we can do it. Shake it up, baby.
Yeah, the Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, they really had a great season. There's a lot to look forward to with them. Like, they don't have a home. They don't know where they're playing. Oracle, let's see it happen. That's a perfect place for them. Just put them there. No one cares. I don't think they'll matter until they're, deeply into 3 years, 4 years into Vegas. That's when I think they'll matter. I think they'll, do nothing until – I don't think they're doing anything even right when they move to Vegas. I don't think it's going to be like the Vegas Golden Knights where they made it to the Stanley Cup Final their first year. I don't see that happening with the Raiders. That's just me. But a lot of people think the Raiders are going to be great every year because their fans are drunk. They're just drunk. And they think that they're always going to win every game and they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. I've heard it all.
I was talking to a couple of people out there while we were out there during the week. And there definitely is a feel. Like, the fan base is there. Like, they obviously gained a lot of fans with what happened last year. But like we talked about when they lost to the Caps last year, pretty much the majority of their fan base doesn't know what it's like to see them lose.
Right.
And remember, they started slow in October and early November. People were telling me that like a lot of the fans were like really, you know, going crazy because they weren't winning hockey games in October. And we've seen how much better they've been as the season's gone on, but they just don't know what it's like to lose yet out there.
Did you see, like, the guy, some guy tried to sneak into the Patriots locker room with a security jacket on? And then did you see, what's her name, the reporter for Tracy Wolfson? She was down on the field, looked like she was about ready to get her head taken off in that wild post-game
scrum. Thanks for bringing
scrum.
That up. What are we doing here where we have to let everybody crash onto the field at the end of these Super Bowls? The NFL has all this security, all these things they talk about. Why not keep like a little perimeter? Only let certain people, like Wolfson, who's there for the broadcast, or
she was about to
cameras,
get mauled.
What were they doing
and
out
then,
there?
Did you see the other radio guy getting dragged out of there? And he was wearing he was doing the old Bobby Valentine. He had the fake mustache on, trying to sneak into the game.
I missed that one.
He got arrested. He was yelling F-bombs, getting carried out by the po-po. Don't forget, episode 139 of Pharrell and the Bets tomorrow on iTunes, Google Play, and WestwoodOnePodcast.com. For Carver, hi, and Mavi, I'm Pharrell. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.